Christ's followers, the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. In all ages, the people of God have been the light of the world. Joseph was a light in Egypt. He represented Jehovah in the midst of a nation of idolaters. While the Israelites were on the way from Egypt to the Promised Land, they were a light to the surrounding nations. Through them, God was revealed to the world. Satan sought to extinguish their light, but by the power of God, it was kept alive through successive generations, while Israel maintained a national existence. And even during the captivity, there were faithful witnesses for God. From Daniel and his companions, and Mordecai, a bright light shone amid the moral darkness of the kingly courts of Babylon. In holy vision, God revealed to Daniel light and truth that he had concealed from other men. And through his chosen servant, this light has shone down through the ages and will continue to shine to the end of time. We who are living in this age have greater light and privileges than were given to Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, and other ancient worthies. And we are under correspondingly greater obligation to let our light shine to the world. God has made us the depositaries of His law. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and we are to follow in His footsteps, to represent Him before the world. But are we faithful depositaries of the truth, correctly representing it amid the spiritual declension and moral corruption that now exist? Are we doing all that we might and should do to diffuse the precious light of truth? Brethren, you see the truth. You understand the claims of God's law. You know that no willful transgressor will enter into life, and yet you see that law made void in the world. What is your duty? You are not to ask, what is convenient for me, what is agreeable, but, what can I do to save souls? There is a great work before us. The world is to be warned. This work calls for the exercise of all the talents that God has entrusted to our keeping. He has given us abilities that enable us to exert an influence on other minds. We have talents in the pen, the press, the voice, the purse, and the sanctified affections of the soul. All these talents are the Lord's. He has lent them to us, and He holds us responsible for the use we make of them, for the faithful discharge of our duty to the world. We may come very near to Jesus. We may commune with Him. And having found rest and peace to our own souls, we may show forth to others the beauties of true holiness. We shall meet with conflicts to test our faith and courage, but they will make us strong if we conquer through the grace which Jesus is willing to give. But we must believe. We must grasp the promises without a doubt. They are ample and rich, even during the perils and trials of the last days. Hear the assurance given by the prophet of the Lord. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Habakkuk 3, verse 17 to 19. As we exercise faith, talk faith, and act faith, the promises of God will be verified to us. And as we walk consistently with our profession of faith, we are also teaching others to walk circumspectly. Do not choose darkness. Come out of the cold, dark caverns of unbelief into the upper chamber, where you may bask in the sunshine of God's love and enjoy peace and rest in the presence of Jesus. The Savior said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8, verse 12. When you constantly complain of darkness, you represent to the world that you are not following Jesus, or else that He has deceived you. But, dear brethren, have you not been in the habit of talking darkness and unbelief? Have you not, by so doing, greatly shadowed the path of others and led them to think that there could be nothing attractive in the truth, nothing satisfying in the religion and service of Christ? Your words, your life, and your character have represented your religion. And how many souls have you discouraged and balanced in the wrong direction? Do not consult feeling, for feeling is not to be our guide. We are to walk by faith, not by sight. Do not let unbelief separate you from God. Do not let one word of unbelief or discouragement escape your lips. Satan is pleased at every such expression, because it is dishonoring to Jesus. Seek earnestly to remedy every defect of character. Put away murmuring and fretfulness. In the indulgence of these traits, you represent Satan, the prince of darkness, and not Christ, the prince of light. Cast no shadow to darken the pathway of others. Walk in the light, and the peace and joy that shine in the face of Jesus will be reflected in you. Jesus lives, and his promise is, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Matthew 9, verse 29. Those who talk unbelief may have a little enthusiasm when the sky is bright and everything encouraging. But when the battle goes hard, when we have to hope against hope and urge our petitions to the throne of grace through deep darkness, then the unbelieving ones will not talk of the good land of Canaan, but will make prominent the dangers to be encountered. They will dwell on the strong walls and the giants we shall meet, when the language of faithful Caleb should be heard. The land is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. Numbers 14, verse 7, 8. Men of courage are wanted now. Men who will venture something for the truth's sake. Men who will be sober, but not gloomy and desponding. Men who will watch unto prayer, and whose prayers will be mingled with living, active faith. We may be cheerful and even joyful. Even under temptation, our language may be that of faith and hope and courage. But no lightness, no trifling, should be indulged in. No low witticism should escape our lips, for these things give Satan great advantage. And we are living in the solemn hour of the judgment, when we should afflict our souls, confess our errors, repent of our sins, and pray for one another that we may be healed. If we are converted, we shall no longer represent Satan by warped, one-sided characters, but in character, in words, and in actions, we shall conform to the perfect character given us in the life of Christ. Unless we follow this perfect example, evil practices will confirm us in Satan's snare. We cannot afford to dally with the tempter, to persist in one wrong habit, to cherish one darling sin. If we confess and forsake our sin, if we come to Jesus in penitence and humility of soul, acknowledging our inability to remove one spot or stain of sin, and relying wholly on the merits of a crucified Savior, we may expect forgiveness, for His word is pledged. He has said that He will pardon our transgressions and blot out our sins. We must dwell upon the matchless love and compassion of Jesus, and not upon our own unworthiness and sinfulness. If we look to ourselves, all will be darkness, but Jesus is all light and life, and we have only to look and live. We may look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Hebrews 12, verse 2. What tenderness, what mercy, what love are here manifested. Through constant watchfulness and prayer, we may grow in grace and perfect Christian characters. But prayer will be no task to the soul that loves God. It will be a pleasure, a source of strength. Our hearts will be stayed upon God, and we shall say by our daily life, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. In view of what Jesus has done to redeem us from the power of Satan, how can we allow evil traits of character to gain the ascendancy, thus giving Satan cause to exalt and bring grief to him who died for us? The Lord is waiting to bestow rich blessing upon us if we will only comply with the conditions. We cannot glorify Him while we cherish doubt. We must believe that He will do just what He has said He would. Remember that we have a living Savior. If you do not feel lighthearted and joyous, do not dishonor God by talking of your feelings. Talk of the promises. Talk of Jesus' willingness to bless. And before you are aware of it, the cloud will lift, light will come into the soul, and you will find peace and rest in Jesus. Cherish love. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Romans 12, verse 10. Form a habit of speaking words of cheerful hope and courage, words of love and appreciation, that will bind hearts together. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1, verse 7.